control, there's another similar study found that children with good self-control grew up into becoming adults with higher socioeconomic status, and they were more likely to be able to purchase their own homes and even have retirement plans, which is super delayed gratification.
Yes,
super
delayed. Yes,
that's
very
probably
delayed.
One of the hardest thing to do,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Hello once again, everyone, and welcome to the Mizzi Wahid podcast. Thank you once again for tuning in to our episode. And today we have not one, but two guests and a very interesting topic, a topic that I love to talk about and also think about a lot, you know. And inshallah, we are going to begin very, very shortly. But before we start, allow me first to share with us, to share with all of you that this is an ongoing series with our partner, Yayasan Mendaki. And if you don't know who they are a pioneer in the self-help group for the development of the Malay Muslim community in Singapore. They assist students and individuals of the Malay Muslim community with education and lifelong learning. If you wish to know more, you may visit my.mendaki.org.sg, and that's where you'll learn more about all of their programs and initiatives for you and your family. All right? So without further ado, I would like to first and foremost welcome my first guest, none other than Fiza Oh. Welcome, Fiza.
Yay.
Welcome once again.
Welcome once again. Thank you for having me once again. This is our third time together.
Yes.
And I see that you brought another guest in, and yes, I'm so excited. Ustaz Mizzi,
it's an impressive
great
guest.
Taste. Impressive. Yes. Mm-hmm. I was just looking through her bio, and I'm like, this is taking me about a week to get through everything she's done.
Exactly.
She's doing and she's done.
Yeah. And that's why we have her here.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, you're too kind. Really, you're too kind.
No, really. Read up about her, and her name is...
Her name is Dr. Atika Azhari. Welcome, Doctor.
Thank you very much for having me today.
So, please allow me to spend half of the episode reading your profile. So, to introduce to my listeners, Dr. Atika Azhari is a social and developmental psychologist and a lecturer of psychology at the Singapore University of Social Sciences, SUSS. She has been trained in applied neuroscience techniques in Singapore, Japan, and Italy. Have you been to Italy before?
No.
Okay.
The closest I've been to is Italian food in Singapore.
Same.
Close enough.
Same?
Yeah, close enough. Huh?
Yeah.
So, Dr. Atika uses behavioral and neuroscience approaches in her key areas of research in child development, family processes, and social relationships. Some of her research topics include parent-child relationships, spousal relationships, cultural attitudes in children, school transition in children, and research on children from at-risk families. Wow, all of those are very deep stuff.
Very deep
and
stuff.
Important topics for all of us to learn more about. So Dr. Atika serves as an associate editor for the editorial board of Elsevier, and she sits in the advisory committee of PPIS, where she provides consultation on research that improves social services and programs in the organization.
Wow.
Atika is a prolific academic who has published numerous papers in high-impact journals. Her work has been featured in media outlets both locally and around the globe, drawing a wide range of scientific and public audiences. Dr. Atika has presented her findings in distinguished international conferences, and she has been featured in local programs too, like Channel News Asia and The Tate. Welcome to the episode.
Thank you very much.
There you go. And then we have Fiza Oh.
Fiza Oh needs no introduction, correct?
Exactly,
no.
Precisely. So, everyone knows
and
Fiza
then, like,
Oh.
And then we have Fiza Oh, who,
who
you can explain to her about her in 10 seconds. Wow, I'm so glad that we have Dr. Noor Atika with us today, Mizzi, because I feel like I'm so much learning from both of you. I'm like the listening parent for this podcast. I am representing all the parents who wants to know more.
I have a lot of questions for her too.
Yes.
Sure,
we're going to be grilling Dr. Atika on your behalf.
Yeah. But the overarching theme for today is on delayed gratification, which is a very interesting topic, I feel. I think adults also struggle with delayed gratification.
Yes.
You want
yes.
things instantly.
Exactly.
But I guess it's a greater challenge for kids nowadays, right, Doctor?
Yes,
with everything
precisely.
Coming to them instantly. Like you click a button on YouTube, they expect it to play instantly.
Instantly.
Yes. So, we live in an instant world, yeah, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like so, we cannot wait for anything to buffer. Mm-hmm. Like yes. Buffering means
it's unacceptable.
Loading, we close the page.
Yes. Glitches means, oh, this thing is spoiled, I need a new one. Immediately.
Exactly.
Well, we existed during the time of dial-up modem. Remember dial-up internet?
20 minutes. Fail, try again.
And then your mom will pick up the phone outside and then cut off.
Cut off. We'll try again. Right, yeah. Half a day work.
And the video buffering, it takes half an hour for a 5-minute video last time.
Yeah, right, I remember that. Good old days of delayed gratification.
Delayed gratification.
Very
yes,
delayed
absolutely.
Gratification.
So allow me to kickstart this with a little sharing about the famous Stanford marshmallow experiment. Have you heard of this before, Visa?
Nope.
Yeah, so this experiment was done with preschool-age children.
Uh-huh.
And they were presented with a marshmallow.
Okay.
And in a room like this, the studio, quiet room, just them and a marshmallow. And they were given two options. Number one, you could eat the marshmallow immediately. Mm-hmm. Or you could wait for 15 minutes and get an additional marshmallow. So interestingly, this study shows the children who were able to wait 15 minutes effectively demonstrated the skill of delayed gratification.
That's right.
In follow-up studies conducted decades later, researchers found, so they followed the kids, and the children who were able to have delayed gratification ended up having higher SAT scores, lower levels of obesity, better social skills, and better emotional coping skills. Wow.
Wow.
Yes, that's impressive.
Impressive,
yes.
Isn't it? So I've seen people do like others like candy, chocolate, cupcakes, donuts.
On
I've seen, but it's a interesting.
Do you know that it could actually mean great success for such experiments, can?
Yes, the effects have been shown to persist even all the way to adulthood till you're 40 years old, even. Yes, so you can see the importance of delayed gratification.
I'm terasa dia cakap 40. I felt something.
I felt something.
Something snapped. Like
something snapped.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Did I do the test earlier? let me see.
But why do you think this is so profound? Why is the ability to wait for something greater is the determining factor for many other successes in the future?
Yeah, so you can draw parallels of the marshmallow test with different aspects of our lives, right? Take education, for example. Take simply learning. Let's say the child wants to watch TV, right? But of course, the child also has homework.
Yes.
Right. So how do you negotiate with the child? How do you delay something immediate, like, you know, the fun of watching television, and have that later on? Finish up your homework first, and maybe you can get an extra 5 minutes of watching television. That delay of gratification is there. And then that child can then complete that task and has learned that skill to self-regulate, to exercise control, and then apply that to other aspects of their lives, to more challenging environments as an adult later on.
The way Dr. Atika speaks, which I'm so mesmerizing.
Yes, and I shall be delayed.
My lecturer voice.
Have you done anything like that, Fiza? Like where you tell your kids, okay, you can play, but you need to do this first.
Yes,
a house
chore
or homework.
Yeah, I will tell them to clean up first. If you clean up, I will add like half an hour to your screen time.
Yeah.
Yes.
So and that works because it sounds like, oh, I have a lot more time.
Yes.
So you have this settled and then I'll add one more. Duty, like one more item for you to do and complete. It usually works if the bait is interesting enough or attractive enough. Yeah,
something they really want.
Something they really want. If it's something that they don't really care about, it doesn't really work. I can't think of but it doesn't really work. But do we have to practice this like every day? Will it be something that they'll be one day desensitized to? Like, let's say if I were to do it every day or every other day, okay, if you clean this up, I'm going to add half an hour. Do I have to like eventually add an hour more or 40 minutes more to make them, to make it seem still attractive?
I think, you know, especially when it comes to screen time, you don't want to keep adding half an hour, 1 hour. But maybe if you kind of set an arrangement with them in advance. So every time you do something first and then you can have your screen time added by a certain amount only. Perhaps there's a limit to that, right? Yes.
Or else, you know, not doing it at all.
Yes, precisely. Or else perhaps no screen time.
So punishments with like, you know, by holding it back is considered a good punishment?
Yes, there is a limit, right? So you want to have rewards. You want to perhaps also take
away
something.
It doesn't even
sound
like a punishment. It's just something delayed. Right?
Delayed
rewards.
Yeah. But they will think, you know, kids like, realize about kids, you might be this perfect parent for the entire day and then just one last hurdle and they're asking you for an ice cream perhaps to end of the night and you're like, no, it's too late. And they'll be like, oh, they will act as if I'm like not
the most evil person.
I'm the most evil person.
But I have been like this great mom the entire day, and they forgot whatever I've done for them.
Yeah.
Yes. And then suddenly it's these moments that yes. the deciding factor that what kind of a mom am I? Mm. And I think that also translates to adulthood. Mm. Like we might be having a great day the entire day, and it just takes one thing to spoil our. You know, our night and then our entire day.
Mm. Yeah, and I think at that point, right, it's easy for parents or adults to say, oh, you can just have anything. You know, just give in to the children, let them have anything. Right, but actually, delay of gratification is like a cognitive muscle for the child. You have to exercise it, you have to practice it, and they'll get better at it over time. Mm-hmm. Right, so they need to, for example, if they want something, right, they want to watch TV, they want to play, but they have certain tasks or certain chores that they have to finish up first. Then they have to practice inhibiting themselves for a while, right? Exercising their self-control. And the more opportunities they have to do that, then they'll get better at it. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's true. I think for our listeners who are parents, right, they probably will still be wondering, but why is this so important? So they need more convincing. So there's another similar study found that children with good self-control grew up into becoming adults with higher socioeconomic status, and they were more likely to be able to purchase their own homes and even have retirement plans, which is super delayed gratification.
Yes, very delayed.
So that's really impressive, isn't it? If you can just train them now, it sets them up for life, right?
Yes.
You know, having this self-control. And these follow-up studies highlight the importance of delayed gratification as a key ingredient for success. So, Dr. Atika, what do you think about this experiment in particular? Like, are there other ways, perhaps, that you can give us examples of how we can train our children apart from the marshmallow experiment?
Yes, the marshmallow experiment is simply just a classic experiment, right? But how do you do that in day-to-day life? So, so for example, let's say you're taking your child out and there's a toy store. Yeah. They're going to say, I want this, I want that, I want this, right? There's so many things that they want. And they want it now. They want it immediately, right? So perhaps some of the ways you can help them build up this delay of gratification skill is to help them create a list together, right? Prioritize. So what is it that you want? So then we can come to terms with an agreement with them, right? So which item do you want? Okay, how about we get something done first? Mm. How about we have a certain achievement pack to a certain item? Mm. Or you can even bring in some financial skills for an older child. Right, so okay, you want a certain item. So let's say you save up this amount. I'll put in this amount, and we can get an item together. Mm. Right, so then you're learning. Okay, I can't just get things on the spot. Mm. I have to plan for it. Mm. I have to delay that sense of gratification for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good example.
Yeah, I think it allows the child to explore a spectrum of emotions that goes along with it, like disappointment, irritation, and then that. They can convert it to motivation.
Yes, precisely, yes.
I think I'm trying to recall how my mom did to me when I was younger. Mm. And when she promised me that if I were to do well, I'll get this, I'll get it. Mm. And if I don't, she will really hold it back from me.
Yes. Mm.
And that is actually real disappointment. I can feel the sadness, you know, till today. Yeah. But I guess that was also a motivation for me to work harder next time or do as I promised.
I think the motivation has been with you until today.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, like right now, I think as parents, we try not to want to disappoint our child, and sometimes we give them too much privileges.
I think the reason is because we were disappointed a lot,
so
we don't want to disappoint them.
We don't want them to feel that way.
But I guess what we need is to conduct it in a more moderate manner, like not give in too easily and not hold back too much.
Yes, find that sweet spot, right? Every child will be different, right? Every child will be different in terms of wants. Maybe that one child will say, oh, it's okay, mommy, I just want that one thing. You can spend the rest on, you know, the little brother or something, right? But some other children might say, oh, I want everything. So you need to know what motivates your child, what drives your child, and how then to interact with the child in a way that best scaffolds the development of delay of gratification in that particular child.
I mean, I have different experiences with all my four kids, right? So the first one, initially she was the only child, of course, whatever she wanted, and we were first time parents, gave, buy anything, right? Once we had the second one, she became less demanding because she knows she has a younger brother, but the younger brother would be the one throwing a tantrum whenever he doesn't get anything. Oh, please, but I want. His favorite word, we like to joke, but I want.
But I want.
So he would not leave Toys R Us until he gets what he wants. And
but
he would
I
just
want.
Make a scene, right? Mm. But then when the third one came, the third one was very interesting. He's not interested in stuff. Mm. So he's like very okay. Even on his birthday, we bring him into a toy store and he's like, I don't know what I want. So very different. And then the last one wanted to follow the second one more. But then eventually when she saw all the others having less and less demands, she's now very easy for us to manage. Like, she doesn't demand as much. So I think it depends for every family. Like, you have one child, the challenge is going to be tough because, like, this is your only baby, you know? Like, you want to give everything to them. But if you have two, it's going to be different, three different, four different, right? So that's one really good one. Some of our kids, right, what we do is that we tell them, okay, your birthday is coming in 2 months. Give us a list. So she said a list, right? Give us a list of things you want. Mm-hmm. But you might not get everything. Number one, you have to wait and you don't even know what you're going to get. But you got to be patient. You got to continue doing well in school, blah, 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 right? So they understand and they get it and they appreciate whatever that they receive at the end of it, right? So that's one thing that we have done. How about this? Cook and bake. Do you cook and bake with your...
I cook. I'm not much of a baker.
But do you involve your boys?
Yes, I will. As I said, you know, I will usually involve them in the groceries part. Mm-hmm. So they know that, for example, I'm preparing chicken rice for them or like noodles for them. So I'll get them involved in the picking of groceries, the vegetables. Yeah, basically that. And then when I'm about to cook, I actually really don't like having a messy kitchen all around me. It's just like, no, I've got to cook, I've got to clean, you know, I got to work. I got to do it fast. Yes. So the most I get them involved is getting the things or the ingredients out of the fridge and then the cleaning of it. So once I'm done with cooking, I'll make sure they get their own food from the kitchen and then put it to the dining table. And after you're done, you got to bring it back to the kitchen and put it in the sink and, you know, have it... and cleaning up the table. So that's how I get my children involved.
So, Doctor, yes. In involving, like what Fiza has done with her boys, I guess it's teaching them that, you know, you don't just sit at a restaurant, order, and then the food arrives.
Exactly, yes.
Right? Or food delivery now is very common with busy parents. This process of involving them in the groceries and preparing tells them that, you know what, we have to actually wait. There's a process.
There is a process. To everything. Yes. Yes, precisely. So simple things like meals, right, for children to be like, oh, yeah, parents will handle it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will just sit there and just the meal will just appear before me, right? Mm-hmm. But by involving them behind the scenes, that's when they know, oh, there is a process. I have to wait. I can even help out, right? I have to delay my gratification, to delay that meal time in order to prepare for it. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, you're also involving them. You're also ensuring that they are part of that preparation process for that meal.
Yeah, I think it's also hard for me because sometimes everything is really within reach. For example, after a meal, they just go to the kitchen and then they go to the snack bar or the ice cream, you know, just like open out the fridge because they're now of height, right? Mm. They can just reach out to an ice cream cone, reach out to a snack, a bag of chips. And I say, hey, you just had a meal. Chill. Chill. Give it an hour, you know, or two. And I can feel the frustration. They're like, but just. So I'll tell them to go back to the room, do drawing, play with your toys, just fill up your time. And sometimes it gets hard for these kids to like, okay, fill up my time. Oh, okay.
That's all I can think about is the ice cream.
The ice cream.
Exactly, right? Yes.
Yeah, so how do I, like, how do we efficiently, you know, motivate them to fill up their time without me letting them know what to do exactly?
Exactly. So this is when it is important for them to have some degree of independent play, right? So let's go back to that marshmallow experiment, right? Okay. Where we have the child waiting for 15 minutes for their additional marshmallow. That child now has to learn to do something by themselves while waiting, distract themselves, think about something else, think about the reward instead of the immediate gratification in front of them. Mm-hmm. So that requires the development of a skill of selectively attending to the future reward, right? Of inhibiting themselves from just going for whatever is there in order to get a bigger reward later on.
Mm-hmm.
So similarly for your child with the ice cream, right?
Yeah.
So how can, is there something that you can scaffold? So maybe prepare a few things, a few toys for your child. And then after that, instead of like what you said, you don't want to just tell them what to do, right? You want them to explore for ways for them to manage their own emotions. Because now some kids might be frustrated, right? So I want this ice cream right now. Why can't I have it?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of frustration that they now need to learn how to manage. Mm-hmm. And they need the room to explore, to learn how best to cope with that frustration, how best to sit with it in a way that, okay, over time they know, oh, a certain way of doing things, perhaps if I play with my toy, something I like to do, that will help me manage my emotion better.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on I can have the ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that takes exploration, takes time to build.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My kids all have different interests. They want different rewards. Very, very tough.
Oh. Very tough.
So the first one, she wants her screen time. Okay, she's the oldest one. The second one likes to go outdoors. So I want to go swimming. I want to go to the park. I want to go and ride my bicycle. Okay. The third one wants movie night. So at home, we switch on the TV until he sleeps. You know, he likes that a lot. The last one, she wants everything. Okay. So the last one gets everything, right? So we have to somehow figure that part out. Cooperation between my wife and I. I think it's also important. Parents must be consistent. Doctor, do you agree? Like,
yes.
If one parent says, wait, the other parent cannot say, go, take whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yes.
How important is that?
It is quite important, right? Because then if not, the child will think, oh, I can just negotiate with the other parent. You will have a bad cop, good cop situation, right? So, and in the end, it won't really help the child build that sense of delay or gratification. So in the end, that's what we want to try to build up, the scaffold in the child.
No, I suddenly remembered, because you were recalling how your mom trained you. I remember my dad trained me. Because I was like, did this ever happen? Yes. Suddenly, you know, because I used to have a PC. My dad bought for me a PC. This was when I was 13 years old. And the internet just started back then, okay? So what my dad would do, especially 1 or 2 months building up to exam period, he would remove all the plugs and he would hide it somewhere.
That was cruelty for us.
Yes. That was like, what else do we have? We have nothing.
Exactly.
So, I remember that was what he did. But, you know, I was very, what do I say? Naughty. I was able to figure out where he hid the stuff, you know. And sometimes when he's out, if you listen to this, sorry, but you know, I would find it. I would just like play for a while and then hide it back.
Oh wow,
it's troublesome.
It's so troublesome.
So many plugs to plug in.
Like my mom will make sure that if I have bad results, no TV for me.
Yes.
So let's say I know my results are coming out next week. If I were to be watching some trailers on television, this new program out next week, I'm like, oh, by then I wouldn't be able to watch.
Sedih.
So I'm like, okay, I'll be preparing myself. I don't know. I think, is it easier for us then to already practice itself or like that delayed gratification naturally, rather than now we're trying to build our children up for it. We're trying to like get them and, you know, like you say, all these scaffolding experiences. I don't think my mom did intentionally, you know, had that idea inside her, like, oh, I've got to practice delayed gratification. Right?
Yeah.
Say,
yes.
She just did it because she was like...
Probably the concept was never even...
Yeah,
said,
it wasn't,
you know,
never even
there,
like done on... Not done intentionally. She's just like, I'm not happy with you. You're not doing it.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah.
Yes.
But now we're like planning, how do I delay you beautifully and without doing it too much?
But I think also it's because our world has changed so much. You think about it, like our childhood compared to children's childhood right now, right? Everything is really instantaneous. They have, some of them have phones, right? They can have access to the internet, YouTube anytime, access 24/7 almost. So everything is instantaneous, and that shapes their perception, their expectations of what is to come in life, right? So we need to also tell them, okay, there are moments in time where you have to be able to delay gratification.
Now.
Yeah.
Another area, Doctor, if I may ask, whenever I send my kids to school, I drive behind me, and my wife and I were talking, they like to interrupt. It's like, mama, da-da-da-da, like... Then we have to tell them, wait, we are talking, please later. But they can't stop themselves from wanting to tell us something.
Now.
Yes.
Sometimes it's like something very silly, something very insignificant, but they just want to get our attention.
Right.
What are some tips you have to help us teach them to like, don't interrupt?
Yes, I think this is an issue I think all parents face, right? So, especially when it comes to conversation, mm-hmm. your children can say anything, right? So this is different from getting a reward, for example. So they have that agency to just say anything on the spot. So for this particular situation, we need to teach them how to learn to control themselves. There is a time and place for them to be involved in the conversation, to take turns in conversations. And you can do it in a nice way, right? So maybe just tell them, okay, hold on for a while, we're talking. And then once you're done, you can say, oh yes, sorry, you were saying something. Yes, please, let's talk about that now. You can even, you know, place your hand on your back and smile at them and say, okay, mommy's talking right now. But we can follow up later on or something.
Lisa, with that voice, okay?
With that voice, that usually doesn't work. If I were to like, can you just give me a while?
Yes.
No. It's just get repetitive. Ibu.
But I guess we also have to be repetitive and consistently
all
reminding.
All the time, yes. Yeah. I guess that repetition plus that physical touch is extremely important. So when I'm saying, hang on, and it doesn't work, I'll just, you know, really have a grip on their arms.
Making eye contact.
Yeah,
is that
eye contact. Yes, of course, contact, important. Yeah.
I'll be like just touching their arm. I'm like, hang on for a while. Give me 5 minutes.
Yes,
and then
it's like a firm but delicate. Yeah, you know, you need to have that balance. It's, you don't want to seem cold to them. You don't want them to think that, oh, I'm not interested. Because you definitely are interested.
Yes.
Yes, but at the same time, you need them to also learn that you can't just interrupt and blurt whatever it is into the conversation, right? So that having that warmth, that sense of warmth, placing your hand on them, that conveys to them that, oh, you know, I care for you. Yes, I care about what you have to say, but there's a time and place.
I have the eye sometimes.
You know? Have the eye, yes.
Like, I'm just looking at you with that eye, the empty eye that goes like, you wait, and my son gets it.
Oh, okay.
He'll be like, are you upset? You're not upset. Are you disappointed? He's asking me a range of emotions. Yes. So I'm like, how is he picking this up? When you're not just keeping quiet, that's all I'm asking for. And like, are you angry? Are you upset? Are you disappointed? Are you irritated by me? He's asking a range of emotions. I'm like, now who's a psychiatrist right now? I'm like, no, I'm just asking you to wait for 5 minutes. Yes. Oh, okay. So yeah, so I guess with every child is very different. Like my first is just like, hang on, and okay, he'll hang on. And my second, he needs a why. Must he hang on?
Yes.
Right.
They ask why.
Why?
Can
you explain?
Yeah. Why I can't do this now? Yeah.
And I'm like, how?
Because. And then your reasoning is coming as you're thinking, because. Yeah. Yeah.
How will this not make them, how will this answer be a good, solid answer that will not make them use it against me in the future? Because they are very quick with it like that.
Yep.
Using the answers that I give to them in the next future instances to use it against me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel sometimes attacked by a 6-year-old.
Yeah, interesting. The kids are really interesting today. Another one, Doctor, is recently, right? Hari Raya just ended, right?
Mm.
So they have their own collection.
Mm-hmm.
So my daughter once went out, and my son, the first and second one, apparently they brought some money along when we went out to the mall.
So clever.
It's very cheeky. They didn't tell me, okay? So then, never mind, I'll pay for it. They grabbed something. No, I don't think we want to buy that. Never mind, I'll pay for it. What? You brought money? Yeah. How much do you bring? $78. Why you bring so much money?
Wow.
For what?
like,
just like some random number, you know, like I bought $80-something. What? Why? So they just want to buy a $10 thing or $9 thing. But they brought their own money. So at the time when they're going to school, we give them pocket money at the canteen. My son loves to eat, so food is life for him. So we give him extra sometimes because of extra curricular sessions and everything. How do we teach children to not make impulse decisions when buying? Because I think this is a skill that's good for them to learn while they're still young.
Yes, definitely. Yes. Mm. So there's something called the pause, right? Mm. To teach them how to pause before they purchase anything. To think about, is it something I want? Is it a need? So first of all, distinguish between the two, right? Is it a pause?
Suddenly it hits
me. Is it
me
a
as
need?
A
yes.
A more than a kid. Because yes. I can distinguish sometimes.
It's a lifelong skill.
It is.
We're all still learning.
Is it a need?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, especially if they want something in particular, right? And maybe that something is a bit more expensive than anything usual that they will usually buy on a day-to-day basis, then they have to plan for that, right? How many days do I have to save? How much do I have to save in order to get that thing that I want? And that is a very important life skill. And it goes beyond just delay of gratification, right? We're teaching them also the financial skills, really. And then they can apply that when they get older. So once they get their first job later on, right? What are they going to do with their first income? Are they going to just spend and splurge, right? So having these skills, equipping them with all these skills at a young age means that they have so much more time to exercise delay of gratification, such that by the time they become a young adult, that skill is no longer foreign to them. They know what to do. They know how to save, how to set aside their money for wants and needs, and how to plan for something that they want. And that also ties up to why people with delay of gratification can also have better retirement plans, better homeowners, right? Because there's that sense of planning, that sense of it's all discipline. Right for me to correct their discipline and self-control. Yes, to delay gratification.
So well, on that note about learning how to budget, be good with the numbers, I want to share with you that there is this program called Kelas Matematika, or KMM, and it's a special parent and child program targeted at parents with preschool children aged between 4 to 6 years old. The workshops and activities conducted throughout the lessons aim to empower parents with mediated learning experience, or MLE, so that they are more confident to teach their children in learning the basic numeracy concepts. Parents are guided by qualified facilitators on applying the appropriate MLE techniques in their child's learning. KMM aims to strengthen children's basic numeracy skills to prepare them for entry into primary school and nurture confidence, creativity, and social skills through craft and interactive activities. So yeah, that's a really awesome program, I think, especially 4 to 6 years old, getting them interested with numbers. You know, there's this, I don't know, stereotype towards, you know, people in our community that, oh, we're not good with numbers, anything else you're working. I don't agree with that. I think it's just a matter of exposing them early, teaching them all these skills early. And parents must be involved, right? This is why Kelas Matematika involves parents as well, because whatever that we do at home, the practices, the habits of planning and budgeting and all those things, if we do it in front of them, they understand it's important, it's a useful skill, they want to know it as well, right? So having our children to wait is a work in progress. And they might show their displeasure at times, throw a tantrum, get mad at you. But making them wait promotes delayed gratification that will teach valuable life lessons. And also to remember, beautiful things take time to bloom. Agree, Fiza?
I agree. I am a product of very delayed gratification, so I totally agree. And I, you know, you're talking about...
I'm a late bloomer.
I am. I am. Oh my goodness. Are we all?
Yeah, I don't know. I am. Yeah. She's not.
Her CV was like, she had no time to waste. But yes, I absolutely agree when you said about, you know, the people in our community. I actually really kind of dislike jokes that we make, you know, we're mocking ourselves, like our inability in mathematics, because it's something that we can thrive and we can bloom. And as parents, sometimes like the new techniques are something that we have to learn together with our child. So it's really great. I've seen certain programs of KMM, and I think it's a wonderful bonding session, first and foremost, and then mathematics.
Nice, nice.
Yes.
All right, Doctor, any last words you would like to share to our listeners with regards to delayed gratification and the benefits of it, or any tips?
Yes, there's really lifelong effects, right, on the importance of delay of gratification. So I would say start early, right? Every opportunity presents itself as an opportunity for the child to exercise delay of gratification. Start young, start early, so that by the time they become an adult, they have all the skills necessary to thrive.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Atika, for being with us here today on this episode. Thank you, Fiza, once again, for being an awesome guest.
Yes.
And you ask good questions as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
So make my job easier.
Thank you for having me.
And we hope that if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends, with families, with other parents who might benefit from it. And tag us on social media too. If you love it, we'd love to hear your reviews and your sharing. All right. So thank you. And till the next episode, take care. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Bye-bye.